Rick Greenshare is a former policeman with whom I stayed on a choir tour, told me about being on duty during an ice storm. He was called to the site where the ice and falling branches had caused the power lines to come down. His duty was to keep people away from that area. Near the fallen power line, there was a small tree with a small trunk and thin branches. As the fallen power line crackled and popped with electricity, it was throwing sparks through the branches of that small tree. The sparks would reflect off the ice-covered branches, sending out a rainbow of glimmering colors. The officer said, "I stood there and watched, wondering how anything so beautiful could be so deadly." And you know, the reality for us as human beings is that it's very normal and natural for us to be attracted to beauty. I think that's one of the reasons why God created beauty, was to be a sign of his wonderful presence in the world and other people. Beauty is something for us that we're naturally attracted to. But wouldn't we also say that we are often tempted by what is beautiful yet deadly to us in our own lives as well? And so I want to spend some time with you reflecting on one part of the Our Father this morning. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The reality is each one of us are different as human beings. We're different in terms of our appearance. We're different in terms of our likes and our dislikes. And guess what? We're even different in the areas in which we're tempted. Everybody is different in that way. Lead us not into temptation. The pulpit commentary notes that this plea is not to be brought into the fullness or awfulness of temptation. It's a cry issuing from a deep sense of our own personal weakness against the powers of evil. It's an entreaty against even the slightest attack of the enemy of our souls, seeking rescue from temptation, external trials, or persecution. You know, the reality is for us is that if there's an area in our life where we are tempted, especially an area that we have been tempted in before, maybe we have suffered from this temptation for years in our life, it usually is an area of personal weakness. And that is true for each one of us. This past week, I had the opportunity to sit down with a member of this church who shall remain nameless. He was working through his AA steps, and he was at the step where he needed to make a confession of his sins, a fearless moral inventory, if you will. And he had spent some time preparing for this. He brought in a legal pad. The whole legal pad wasn't full, let me make that clear. But one of those sheets was full, front and back. He had gone through a few of them, and it was obvious to me that he had spent some real time working through what were his sins and what were his faults. We spent an hour talking about that this past week. We haven't covered everything. We're going to spend another hour in a couple of weeks. But, you know, the reality is that we need to be honest about the areas where we struggle and that are weakness for us, areas of temptation. That we might begin to be able to come clean with what's going on. It's only as you and I are honest to the depths of our being in terms of the areas of temptation that we face that we can ever hope to begin to overcome them. The second part of this sentence, deliver us from evil, means to set us free, all of us, from the presence and effect of evil. You know, one of the realities for us is that temptation and evil is not something that we just face personally, but it's something that affects the whole human community. All of us are tempted. All of us face evil. And the reality is that evil unchecked can spread like a fire. It will just continue to grow and grow and grow unless it is confronted. And often in our own lives, I think part of the lie that we tell ourselves is that when we succumb to temptation or when we are engaging in evil, usually in secret, that it only affects me, myself, and I, and God. But I think also, if we're honest with ourselves, just from the headlines that we read and things that we see on the news, and even maybe people that we're aware of who the secret comes out, it can be devastating, can it? And the reality is that even if nobody ever finds out, it's still having an effect upon the whole human community. Because as much as you and I struggle with evil and sin and continue down that path, it blocks our progress in terms of the fullness that God has for our lives. And we need to be honest about that. Rabbi Judah, at the close of his prayer, said, "Let it be thy pleasure, O Lord our God, the God of our fathers, that thou wouldst deliver us from impotent men and impotence, from an evil man and an evil accident, from an evil imagination, from an evil companion and an evil neighbor, and from Satan the destroyer, and from hard judgment and a hard adversary, whether he is the son of the covenant or not." Do you notice the detail of that prayer? That's one of the reasons why I included that in my message today. It's one of the most detailed prayers about evil and temptation that I have ever read before, and I wanted you to hear it because, at least for me, I was really impressed by it. It was kind of like the meeting I had this past week with this person who was working through his moral inventory and the thoroughness of it. And you and I, in order for us to begin to really live into this part of the Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, need to begin to have this degree of specificity. You and I need to begin to be honest to this degree and to work through it and think it through that we might be set free. We need such detail in this part of our life and for the Holy Spirit to inspire us and to lead us in this. You know, I don't know about you, but often in the areas of my life where I encounter temptation and sin, often I don't want God involved. The reality is that if God got involved, there's a lot of things that come to play for me, and maybe for you as well. There's a sense of shame. There's a sense of his light in the midst of my darkness. There's a sense of, you know what, you and sin, God, don't go together, so you can just wait outside while I do whatever I do, and we'll reconnect after the fact, right? Right, that's kind of how that works, especially with secret sins. But one of the realities that God is inviting us into is he's inviting us into his light. He's inviting us into his light. He's inviting us to open up that door to the secret place of sin and begin to allow his light to come in and to touch that part of our lives in a very powerful and profound way. And it's in that way that he can begin to address that evil. You know, as we look at the detail of Rabbi Judah's prayer, and as we begin to consider the moral inventory that I just shared with you that this person began to go through with me this past week, and the detail of it, think about your own life for a moment. What is the area of temptation or evil for you that you continually succumb to? What might that be? It might be gossip. It might be an area of greed or gambling. It might be lust. It could be pride or deceit. It could be any one of a number of things. And the other thing I'd like you to begin to think about is, how is it that you often come into that temptation or sin? Are there certain things you begin to think about? Because often temptation begins in the mind and the thoughts. Is it something or someone that you see? Is it an opportunity that comes across your path? Is it a deep pain that's in your heart and it just kind of opens you up to that as a way to medicate what's going on in your life, whether it be alcohol or drugs? You see, all of us have these patterns that we continue to repeat through our lives, and the reality is we just haven't really taken the time that is necessary. We haven't done, if you will, a fearless moral inventory of the reality of sin in our life and begin to examine that with God. And that's what you and I need to begin to do. And it's not easy. It's very difficult. You will not enjoy this. It will not be fun. You will go there kicking and screaming, but it can be a place of liberation and deliverance for you and for me. Very important. One of the things that happened to me as I began to understand these things, and I'm still learning about them, and God began to shine his spotlight on a particular sin in my life, one of the things that God spoke to me as I came out from that sin and asked his forgiveness again for the 10th year in a row, whatever it might be, 20 years I've been struggling with it, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You know what, Joe, you might want to try something a little bit different. It's been about 20 years now. You just kind of, I notice this is kind of repeating in your life. you might want to just try something a little bit different because what you're doing is not working. And I felt like the Lord speak to me, you know, what you might want to do is that before you, if you feel like you're being tempted, if your thought life is going in a certain direction, if you're seeing some things, if you're just moving in that direction, what I would like you to do is just take a moment to pray. Pray? That's all I want you to do. Just take a moment to pray and ask me for strength not to do that. And I had never thought of that before. Actually, you know what? It never would have crossed my mind because I don't know about you, but when I'm going in the direction of my sin, it's like a pig going to a mud hole. I'm going into that mud hole. That's where I'm going. I'm going to that mud hole. I'm going to wallow. I'm going to have some fun, and I'll take a bath later on. And I said, God, you got to be kidding. Pray right before I want to go into this? That's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Exactly. Exactly. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to you either. But what I am finding, I'm not all the way there yet, but what I'm finding is, as I take just a moment by God's grace to say, Lord, and the prayer's like this, Lord, help. Don't make it long or you're done. It's over. It's very simple. Lord, help. Holy Spirit, come. It's that simple. Just take a moment. And what I am finding more and more is that there's a break happening from that sin. I'll wait a few moments. It's hard at the beginning. And then I'll go on and actually begin to do something else. And God's grace is there. And so you see, what you and I need to begin to do is as we think through these areas of sin in our life and the temptations that you and I face, and we all do, is sincerely pray to God, God, help me out of this. I want to move from my darkness into your light. You know what? I've given up hope on myself a long time ago. I need your help. And let me just say this. If some of you here today are saying, you know what, Father Joe, I've been dealing with this sin for a while, but I can handle it myself. Really, I'm going to ultimately beat this thing. I love you. I respect you. But I need to be honest with you. It's not going to happen. That monkey is on your back. You are locked in the cell, and you are not getting out except by God's grace, except through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way it's going to happen. You see, that's one of the realities that my friend came to in this week who's in AA. He finally came to the reality that anybody in a 12-step group will tell you the first place you have to come to is the understanding that you're powerless, that you have absolutely no power over this habit that's in your life and that's destroying you and the lives of people around you. You have absolutely no power in your own will or your strength or your humanity to overcome it. That's why it's been kicking your fanny for the past 30 or 40 years, because it has a hold of you. And so as soon as you and I begin to acknowledge the fact, Lord, I am powerless over this. This thing has me defeated, and you really mean it, and you really know it, and you've spent some time on your knees, and you spent some time crying, and you've spent some time with a broken heart, and you know in the depth of your heart that you're defeated. Victory can begin to come. That's the place of victory with Jesus. What did Paul say in Corinthians? What did the Lord say to him when he pleaded with the Lord three times, please remove this thorn from me? And we all have a different kind of thorn in our life that we want God to remove. And God said to him, no, I'm not going to remove it from you in so many words. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. I wish that verse wasn't in the Bible. I mean, I'm a priest, but there are things that I wish that weren't in the Bible. I just wish it wasn't that way. But God has designed us that in the midst of our humanity, in the midst of our own weakness, in the midst of the thorns that are a part of our life and our frailty, that we can come to him and experience his deliverance, experience his power, experience his spirit helping to overcome that which we are struggling with deep in our heart. Because it's as you and I do that, beloved, we become all so closer to him. And then when that deliverance comes, when you're walking in a whole new way, when you're able to say no to that sin, you'll look back and say, you know what? That's not me. And God will speak that back to you. Yeah, that's not you. That's my spirit through you. It's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful moment. It's a blessing from God. So how do we begin to apply these things to our lives? Well, again, I would just ask you to ask the Holy Spirit what the Holy Spirit would have you do. As temptation comes across your path, and it will for us each and every day of our lives, simply pray, Holy Spirit, what am I to do? What can I do? Please lead me and guide me. Deliver me from evil. I acknowledge in this part of the prayer of the Our Father that only you can deliver me from evil. I can't deliver myself from evil. The human community can't deliver itself from evil. The more we're around and about things, the more evil seems to be breaking out. Because we need God. We need God desperately in this hour. Pray about it. Think about it. Put your mind and energy into this. And then in closing, I'd like you to consider this as well. Portia Nelson has written autobiography in 5 short chapters. And see how this might apply to your life. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost and helpless, and it isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open, and I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Yeah. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. I love this book. I love it. And beloved, I would just want to encourage you. I just pray for me as I pray for you. As we enter into this new year, as we enter into this time where I really believe the Holy Spirit in a very special way wants to revive us and wants to renew us and draw us ever closer to Him and one another, part of that drawing closer will be moving out of our darkness and into His wonderful light. Let us pray for one another that we would have the grace to no longer fall into holes that we know are there, but maybe, just maybe, begin to walk down another street.